Exodus 12, verses 14 to 28 is what we'll be covering this morning. Go ahead and find that in the scriptures if you're not already there. Picking up where we've left off, you know, I feel like we're in part two of this passage of the Passover and actually God's institution of the Passover. We haven't seen, and we won't see that till next week, the actual event. Holiness, that's what we sang, didn't we? Did y'all notice that? Two things about that. First song, holiness, holiness. This is what I long for. As you sang that, did you understand what you were singing? Is that true? Is that what you're, the long for? That's a desire word, right? If you long for something, that's what you desire. What do you desire? Is it holiness? Part two. If you do, what do we sing the next song? Take time to be holy. If you desire it, what will you do? You will take time. You will take time to spend alone with the Lord because only He can make you holy. We're desperate for the Lord. Desperate. He has to do all this. If He has to do it all, then we have to spend much time with Him seeking Him. Let's seek Him this morning together. Seek Him in His Word. Let's desperately seek to hear from Him. Desperately seek that He would act through His Word in our hearts and our minds to transform us to what He desires us to be. Let's see what He says. Verse 14, this is the word of the Lord. Now, this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be what? Cut off from Israel. Then on the first day you shall have a holy assembly and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them except what must be eaten by every person. That alone may be prepared by you. You shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this very day I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days, there shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native of the land. You shall not eat anything leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and to the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever. And it will come about when you enter the land which the Lord will give you as he has promised, that you shall observe this rite. And it will come about when your children will say to you, what does this rite mean to you? That you shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians but spared our homes. And the people bowed low and worshipped. Then the sons of Israel went and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses, and Aaron. So they did. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to even be able to hear what He wants us to hear through this. We need the Lord to be able to live out what we need to hear from His Word, right? I need the Lord to be able to preach this, although I forget that, don't I? I can do a lot of things in my flesh. We can strive. That's our nature. I can do this. We can't do anything of any substantiability unless it's of the Lord. So let's pray. If you really understand that, you will pray. So let's pray together. Let's seek the Lord and ask Him to do and to move and produce. Let's pray. Lord, we declare here this morning that we are desperate people. Lord, we can't do anything. It's the truth. You have revealed that to us. You must incline our ears to even hear this. Heard that in the song. So we ask, Lord, incline our ears to hear. And Lord, capture our hearts. Capture our hearts and incline our hearts toward what we hear this morning. Father, capture our minds to take the truth that we hear and to put it deep within us, and so that we would go and live out what you call us to do unto you. Lord, this all has to be of your power. And so we pray this morning that you would cause the preaching of your word to bear fruit. Only you can bear fruit. Only by the power of the Spirit. We confess that. We have knowledge of that. We talk about it all the time. But Lord, help us to truly believe it. And to truly seek you for it. And Lord, I just pray right here, please take me out. Take away things that don't need to be said. Take away things that are useless and strive for in the flesh. May you just come. Speak. We need you. You are worthy to be worshipped. Cause worship this morning. And Lord, may you perform the greatest miracle. If we truly know you, you've done this in us. You've made the dead live. I can't make anybody saved. Nobody can decide to be saved. You must do it. Lord, please show your glory. Bring your spirit with power this morning. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have two ordinances in the church, don't we? And I mean the church, I mean not just our church, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, universal. Two ordinances, what are they? Baptism and the Lord's Supper, right? Now, I must ask the question, what is an ordinance? You know, we know the answer, what are the ordinances? Well, what's an ordinance? I've discovered after several years that there's this language we speak in the church, and it's, we all just assume with each other that we all know what's meant. And sometimes because of that, we fail to explain things as we should. So let me take just a moment to make sure we all know what an ordinance is, right? What's an ordinance? Well, an ordinance is just simply a religious rite or ceremony believed to be ordained by God. Thus, ordinance, right? It's ordained. Okay, then help me out, preacher. What's ordained, right? Well, ordained means it's simply ordered by or commanded by God. So very simply put, right, the ordinance of baptism, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, is a religious rite or ceremony believed to be commanded to be observed by the Lord. Now, well, why are we talking about ordinances this morning? That's what's in the passage, right? You look to the passage, what is God doing in this, in their scriptures this morning? He's establishing His holy ordinance, right? Did you see that? Verse 14, verse 17, verse 24. Three times God says, this shall be an ordinance that you shall observe, right, for all your generations. This is an ordinance. What ordinance is that? Well, the Passover feast. Or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Two names, same ordinance. I want to make sure there's no confusion. Some people, they are so unique that some people actually believe these are two different ordinances, and they're not. They're one and the same. They just both are two aspects to the same ordinance, both unique, but ultimately pointing to the same thing. Right? The Passover feast focuses on the night of the Passover and the blood that was put on the doorposts and the frames. Well, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right, focuses on this whole concept that we'll get into today of this, of the unleavened, getting the leaven out, right? Does it remind you of any ordinance that we take? No confusion. Same ordinance. God establishes it here. But here's the question. You know, I love to ask questions because that's what you get to the bottom of things. If you don't ask questions, you can't. And the ultimate question is always, why? Why? Why does God establish these ordinances? Right? That's what I want to look at as we go through our passages. I basically see three reasons, really four, but we'll get that on the end. But three reasons for God establishing this ordinance of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I believe this should be very helpful to us because it's the very same reasons and purposes, I believe, that He gives us any ordinance. And therefore, I hope you see the connection to the baptism and to the Lord's Supper as to why God gives His people an ordinance to observe, right? He's commanded for His people to do these things. You see that in the passage, right? So what are you talking about, preacher? What are you talking about? What's the reasons, the purposes for God's establishment of this ordinance? Well, the first one is God establishes His ordinances, right, to call His people to remembrance. It's a call to remembrance. Look at verse 14 and 17. We'll look at both of those, but really, to begin with, just look at the very first part of verse 14. The whole passage begins with, now this day will be what? A memorial to you. Well, what's a memorial? Y'all know what a memorial is, right? This is anything, right, with the design to preserve the memory of a person, place, or event. World War II memorials are all around us, right? Vietnam War memorials or memorials to certain parts. What are their purposes? To preserve the memory of a person, place, or event. So God set up this ordinance to preserve the memory of something. Well, of what? Well, as you see in verse 14 and 17, of this day. This day will be a memorial for you. Verse 17, you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this very day I brought you, your host, out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations. Well, so God wants to preserve the memory of this day that we have described for us, the day that will come, the day He's preparing them for. Well, what took place on this day, right? This is the day God saved His people. This is the day that God delivered His people from slavery, from judgment, right? So all that being said, I just wanted to put the pieces together for you to see what God did. He set up this ordinance so that His people would always remember throughout their generations the act of His saving them. God wants His people to remember their salvation. Now, how would doing this ordinance help His people remember their salvation? In what ways? Well, first, it would definitely help them remember their need of salvation. That they had a great need at one time, wouldn't it? Remember last week I talked about what is one part of this unleavened bread feast? Well, they will take the lamb and they will eat it with bitter herbs. What for? So that they remembered that they were in bitter slavery in Egypt. So every time, every year they took this meal, right, for generations, they would always remember back to this day in Egypt and go, wait a minute, we were slaves and we couldn't do anything about it. And it was a bitter, horrible slavery. It would remind them of what God saved them out of. But not just there with the need of their salvation, right? Every time they would take the lamb and they would shed its blood and they would perform this ritual, they would remember why. And there was death was coming that night. Death was coming, and they were just as much in danger of it as the Egyptians were. And so every time they take this, they're reminded, right, that they had a great need to be saved. They were in slavery, and they were helpless to get themselves out of, and they were under the judgment of death and of God, and they needed to be saved from this. This reminds them of that fact. Every year they would be reminded. What else? Well, they would be reminded of the urgency of their salvation. What do I mean by that? Well, this is one of the reasons why unleavened bread is used. Why did God have them make unleavened bread? As we'll see next week. Because when they were saved and they left Egypt, they were thrust out of Egypt in a hurry, and they had no time to watch the bread rise because of yeast. So they couldn't put yeast. They just had to make this flat unleavened bread because they were in a hurry. They had to go. It's like they had to flee for their very lives. So they remembered, when God saved me, I had no time to sit around, lay around and think about it. I had to go. It was that serious. Now, three, what else? Well, they also remembered the source of their salvation. Right? Well, how? Well, every time they took that lamb, remember, that they would do every year, blood comes out. Why? It's to put it on the doorpost. Why? Because this is what saved me, was the blood of this lamb. So every year they would remember that they didn't save themselves, that God provided a lamb, right? And not just any lamb, a life had to be given for me to be saved. I have to remember, and not just any life, but a perfect life. An unblemished lamb. So this would serve to cause the Israelites to always remember their salvation. Now you may ask a preacher, come on. This is important stuff. Do we really need to have something to help us remember this? Oh yeah. Right, you know, I see heads shaking. Why? Because we forget. We have spiritual amnesia, right? We do. And it's not that these truths are erased from our memory and then we have to relearn them and go, okay, well, what? I don't know. We know them. It's brought back to remembrance, right? Because we get to live in this life and we forget of what a great need we had, that we were in the slavery of sin and couldn't do anything about it. We were under the judgment of God. We were objects of His wrath. And when we're dealing with the lost, we forget we were at exactly the same place they were. We see the lost and we think, oh my goodness, I shudder to think of what judgment's going to come against them if they're never saved. But did you understand that was us? And this is what we were saved from. And so therefore we need reminding of that. We also need reminding of our source of salvation as much as anything, because boy, you get to live in this life of Christianity, and if the Lord blesses you and He's able to progress you in sanctification, you get, what happens? We get spiritual amnesia and we begin to believe we're doing it ourselves. It's our strength. I can really do this. Boy, Lord must be proud of me. Listen, the Lord loves you, but He's not proud of you because you're not doing a thing. If it's anything, any good, it's of Him. And we need to be reminded that the whole reason we were even delivered was the grace of God to provide a lamb, the blood of Jesus, His own Son, so that we could be freed and spared from the destroyer that would come. And we need reminding of this constantly, don't we? We are to bring this to remembrance. If God set an ordinance up for it, He wants us to do it. To be reminded of our salvation always. Is this not the motivation for the Christian life? To remember the gospel? And so, praise the Lord, He's given us a feast to help remember it too, hasn't He? Called the Lord's Supper. You know, when Jesus took that Lord's Supper, what was He doing when He instituted it? Passover, right? The last time He ever took the Passover, He was sharing the Passover, this ordinance, with His disciples. And He said, take the bread and eat. This is my body. And he said, take the cup and drink, for this is what? My blood. What was he saying with that? I'm the Passover lamb. That's what he was saying. Now, his disciples didn't get it quite fully in the moment, but this is what he was saying. I am the Passover lamb. And he, in that moment, instituted for us the feast of the Lord's Supper that we may observe. What for? So that we might remember. How did he instruct the disciples to take it? Whenever you take it, do it how? In remembrance of me. My goodness, I hope every time you take the Lord's Supper, that's what you're actively doing, is remembering what the Lord has done, remembering the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not just doing it. He gave it to us for the purpose of remembering and not just recollecting the facts and the knowledge and cold dead facts, but remembering the need of your salvation at before he saved you, and remembering the source of your salvation, and it's the Lord alone, and what he provided was the perfect lamb so that you could be spared and you had nothing to do with it. It's all of him. Remember that salvation, the great salvation of the Lord. Do this in remembrance of me. That's why he gives us ordinances. Same thing with baptism, isn't it? Whenever somebody gets baptized, what do you not remember what that meant for you when you were baptized and takes you back to your need, all those things again? So when you do these ordinances, God gave them so we could remember, which tells us we need to practice remembrance. I always say, preach the gospel to yourself all the time. Don't just wait. Observe the ordinances carefully for the purpose he's given them to you. One is remembrance. But don't wait on the Lord's Supper to remember your salvation. You seek the gospel and remembering the gospel always in your life so that you remember what you need to remember. All right, so remembrance is obviously a purpose. Second purpose, God gives us the ordinances, right, to call us to holiness. Do you know that? He gives us the ordinances to call us to holiness. Look at verses 15 to 20. What are in these verses? It's really all the instructions about the Feast of Unleavened Bread part, right? We have the 7-day observance, right? The first day of unleavened bread is the night of Passover. It's the feast of Passover. That's what that is. But then they're to observe this for 7 more days by simply eating no bread with leaven. And then on the 7th day, they have another solemn assembly, another feast, right? And in these verses, we see all these very detailed, very strict instructions. Is it not strict as you read that? Four times the Israelites are instructed to what? Eat no leaven. Twice they're warned about what will happen if they do eat leaven. They will be cut off. They will be cast out, right, of the people of God. Do you understand the seriousness of what God's saying there? This is not a ceremonial thing. This is a real cut off from your people. If you're cut off from the people of God, you're cut off from God. And then we're also given the instruction here that they must sweep their houses. Don't even eat any leaven. You can't have any leaven in your home. None. Sweep it out. To this day, devout Jews who practice this do this ceremonial sweeping. They get these little brooms and they go through their cabinets and they sweep them clean to make sure there's no leaven. And then they sweep everything plumb out the door. So they make a clean sweep of the home because you can't have any leaven in it. That's the focus here, isn't it? Then you got to think, okay, why is God focusing on this leaven? Right? Well, there's really multiple purposes, so I don't want to skip over that, but there's an emphasis here I want to get to. But first, I've already covered one. It was to remind them of the urgency with which they left, the urgency with which God delivered them from death. It was a go now sort of thing. And so they didn't have time to wait around. They would always be reminded of that every time they took it. But that was on the first day. This thing goes on for 7 days, right? Why the leaven? Well, as Scripture teaches, Jewish teachers have always thought it to be this. Leaven represents sin. Yes. Right? So this call to have no unleavened bread again causes or reminds the Israelites of two things. One, it again reminds them of the holiness of God, and there is no sin in God. And if they're ever going to be made right, it requires a sinless sacrifice. So this, along with the unblemished lamb, reminds them of their need for a Savior, reminds us of our need for the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless one. Can't be any leaven or it does no good. But then two, and more to the point, God is calling His people to rid their lives of sin at the point of salvation. Do you see that? For 7 days, you can't have any leaven whatsoever, right? So this is a call to remind them, God's delivering them, and now I want you to leave behind all sin, especially the evil and the sin of Egypt from which He's bringing you out of. See, there's a real danger, isn't it, that when the Israelites left Egypt, what are they going to take with them? Egypt. You can take the Israelites out of Egypt, but it's real hard to take the Egypt out of the Israelites. Right? That's why I was listening together for the gospel. It's kind of funny. We talk about monks and how that was, you understand how they want to go and get away from the world and sin. So they go off and they live by themselves in community. But the problem is when they go, sin shows up there too. Why? Because they take it with them. So this is a call to leave behind Egypt and to leave behind the sins of Egypt. One commentator said the instruction to banish leaven from their houses and to take none of it with them from Egypt was a gesture that symbolized leaving behind all Egyptian influences that might work their way through their lives and corrupt them. Well, leaven is the perfect illustration of sin in a life, isn't it? How, you ever know how leaven works? Yeast? Make sure yeast is leaven. How does it work? You got a big lump of dough. There's no yeast in it. You get a little pinch and you introduce it anywhere in that lump. And then what happens? It spreads and it's, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. And the sin, the leaven itself corrupts the whole lump. It corrupts every single part of it. And this is what sin will do in a believer's life. And so God says, when I save you, you're called away from that. Get it out. Be diligent. Do whatever you got to do. Get it out of your life. Now, how do I know, preacher, how do you know that that's the right interpretation of this? I mean, the scriptures doesn't equate the leaven with sin here in this passage. Well, we know this is the right interpretation because this is how the New Testament interprets it. And the New Testament is the best interpreter of the Old Testament. Did you know that, right? Where does it do it? Well, I think the best place it does it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. And before I read this, I want you to understand the context of this. The Apostle Paul is addressing the church at Corinth and rebuking them for failing to perform church discipline on a member who is in sin. So there's the context. And then he says this. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you really are leavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, i.e. sin, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So it's kind of obvious in the New Testament tells us this is representing sin. Leaven is equal to sin. So all this emphasis on eating unleavened bread is an emphasis on you. If you're saved, God saves you, He takes you out of Egypt. Be diligent to get sin out of your life. This is a serious, serious thing. And so much so that He has them observe it for 7 days. So what's the obvious application? Be diligent to get sin out of your life. No matter how small you think it is. How much does it take to leaven the whole lump? Just a little bit. Don't we know this about sin? We view some sins as small, but it only takes a little bit and it's through our whole life before we know it. We think we have sin under control and it will turn on us and devour us before we know it. My brother laughs, you know that illustration was so true. It is like that lion. We think we can tame it and pet it and command it and it'll do it for a while. But the nature is what? Devour. This is what sin does in a believer's life. So it don't matter how small it is. You need to get it out. You need to be diligent to sweep your home clean of this thing, right? So if you think it's a small sin to hold a grudge against somebody, it's a sin. Get it out. You have no right to hold a grudge over anybody. If you're the Lord's and He's forgiven you of what you've been forgiven of, then how can you hold anybody liable to anything? Forgive. Perhaps you have a secret lust. You think it's a small thing. You got it tamed. It's no small thing. It'll devour you. Get it out. Perhaps you think it's a small thing to worry or be impatient. It's not. This goes directly against what the Lord's called us to do. Therefore, it's sin. Those are very common sins, so we kind of tolerate them. We all confess to these things. I do. But it's sin. God says, sweep it out. Perhaps you think it's a small thing to be undisciplined in the things of the Lord that He's given you to do to seek Him, right? Yeah, I know I don't pray, but is that a big deal? I know I don't spend time in the Word, but is that really a big deal? This is sin. It doesn't matter how small you consider it. This is to be gotten out of your life. Diligently seek to sweep it out. Be set apart unto the Lord to be holy. If you long for it, what are you going to take time for? Take time to be holy. Seek the Lord. Now, you can't make yourself holy. You can't do it. We talked about it in Sunday school. It's just like bearing fruit. You can't bear fruit. You can't be holy. There's no holiness in us. There is. That's the Holy Spirit. So where's our holiness going to come from? It's going to come from the Holy Spirit. You've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. He'll lead us to get the sin out. But we've got to be led by Him. There's the key. Oh, I've got to get this sin out. I'm going to try real hard. You will fail every time. That's that up and down stuff, you struggling with the sin, that's what you're doing. You got to kill it. Only by the Spirit can it be killed. Got to go to the Lord. Got to go and be led by the Spirit and have Him sweep it out of your life. He's called you to be holy, right? He saved you out of the world. Now let Him get the world out of you. God gives us the ordinances to remind us of that. You know how I tied that back into the ordinance? They would always remember that when they took the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Don't you know the baptism and Lord's Supper do the same thing? They call us to that. When you're baptized, what's that a picture of? You were buried, right? Your old life is gone. It's buried and you're raised up as a what? A new creature in Christ. That new creature is sinless, right? Not perfect, but you're to be out of sin and in Christ. So it's a call to holiness. The Lord's Supper, my goodness, if you don't know that when we share the Lord's Supper, that we are to examine ourselves so that we may rid ourselves of sin, I have failed you as a congregation. This is always a call to examine our lives and see that there be no sin in us since we be in Christ, and there shall be no sin in Christ. So it's always a call. Always a call to holiness and sanctification, brother and sister. Hear this. Don't hear condemnation. We are not perfect. We're not going to be perfect. But we strive to be led by the Spirit so that He may make us holy. As what? He is holy. For He is. It's what He calls us to. It makes sense that He'd give us an ordinance that calls us to that. So there's two. Three, real quickly. I want you to see this third purpose or reason for the ordinances. Verses 21 to 28, we're going to finish up the passage. In the first few verses, you see Moses instructing the elders about the blood again. Don't miss the importance of that, but he's just instructing them what we've already seen. Slaughter the lamb, put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel so that the destroyer may pass over you and spare you. Again, reminding us of salvation and where it really comes from. Jesus, 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 the Passover lamb. But then notice in verses 24 through the first half of 27, do you see that one of the reasons God set up the ordinances is so that they could teach their children about what happened? Do you see that? He says, when they ask you, right? Why are you doing this? He used to tell them, this is about the Passover, the night that God spared us when we put the blood on our doorpost so that the destroyer would go over us, right? I'm paraphrasing. But this is about teaching your children. I see the same thing we saw a few weeks ago, don't you see, brother, sister? The Lord has a desire for you as a believer to pass your faith down to your children and your grandchildren, right? Whoever's there, the household's doing this. And here's the thing. He set up this ordinance to give a built-in tool for doing this. Is this not a perfect tool to teach your children about the salvation of the Lord? It is built in. Why? Children have a natural what? Inquisitiveness about them. They want to know. Why are you doing that, Daddy? Right? Why are you slaughtering that lamb? Well, this was the source of our salvation back during the Passover. And this is when the God saved us and delivered us, when he smote the Egyptians. And then you just go into a great explanation of all that with your child because they're wide open to it. They have asked you about it. And do you not know? Is there anybody here that has children that don't know that that's what baptism and the Lord's Supper does for us as parents? How many of you have never been asked by your children, why are we doing that? They're naturally going to ask you. And so it's the perfect built-in tool to share with them what salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. My goodness, I sat down in Sunday school this morning and my little three-year-old sat next to me and she goes, points at this table and said, Daddy, why? What is that? That's what they do. So use it, mothers, fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers. Use it to teach your children about the salvation of the Lord. Now that means, one, you got to be ready to answer the questions. That means you got to know. But if you're partaking in them and you don't know, I have failed you. Find out if you don't know. Come ask me. We'll talk in depth. And two, you got to be ready for the questions. You got to want them. Don't treat them as inconvenience. Right? Aren't we caught up in our what we're doing to get through? Shh, not now. And then you forget and you don't even talk about it. What? You have just missed a wonderful opportunity to teach your child about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are naturally wanting to know, what are you doing? What's that about? Last week, after the sermon, it was the middle of the afternoon. I'm running to Kroger. I've just got John with me. We're driving. You know, I'm in my task mode. Got to go pick something up. And John's in the car and he just out of the blue says, you know, Dad, that story of how they held the lamb's head back and cut his throat. He said, it really got my attention. I really noticed that. Really. And I in the moment thought, all right, got to go to Kroger, got to get my thing. Oh, that's kind of nice. My son actually remembered something in the sermon. And it's like, you know, it felt like a while, but it wasn't very long. It's like the Lord slapped me upside the head and said, have you considered sharing the gospel with your son in this moment? And so I did. With what that means. You know, that's what I'm talking about. We've got to be ready. Be prepared. Praise God. He's with me. Because, again, it shows how I can't do it, you know. I can't do it because I'm in me. And if I'm in me, I'm not in God. But he was there. He was there. And he swept me right into that moment. Praise the Lord. That's what he uses it for. So teach your children, teach your children, teach your children. Last thing. Well, let me not close this because it's right here in the passage. What should be our response to this besides the obvious? Well, it should be the exact same response as the Israelites had. Look what they did in the last part of verse 27 and verse 28. They bowed low and they worshiped the Lord. And then they got up and did what he said to do. You see that? What two things did they do? They worshiped the Lord. Now there's the fourth purpose that I told you. That's the ultimate purpose of everything. Draw us into the worship of the Lord. Bowed low to worship. And then they got up and they obeyed. Worship and obedience is always the right response to God's word. Always, always, always. Right? So, brothers and sisters, I would be remiss. Why? You probably walked in and said, why in the world is the table out? We just had that 2 weeks ago. This is why. I just, I couldn't fight it. I tried in my flesh. No, that's not the right timing, Lord. The Lord said, no, it's the perfect timing. It's my timing. Get up and do what I told you to do. My brother knows my struggle. Praise God, the Lord's with me. Praise God, the Lord's with you. He's going to lead us into to do what he said to do this morning, right? How could we not observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, the very thing that Jesus himself instituted on this ordinance, the Passover, right? Who gets to observe it? His people. That's who it's for, isn't it? So that you shall observe this throughout all your generations. So if you're his, you're a baptized believer, you know this, this is for you. If you're not, it is not. So please refrain. But if you're in him, if you're in Christ, you are welcome to share in this. And two, as I've always said, use this. Do not take this if sin, if you're in sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 calls us to examine ourselves to see if sin is in us, right? Because we don't want to take it improperly. We're saying we're in Christ and Christ is in us. We don't want known unrepentant sin in us, right? And to come and declare that, hey, I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. Use this as a time to examine and let it pass, and use it as a time to repent. It's a serious call. It always is. But otherwise, we're going to take it together, right? What do we take? Again, what's the first part? Unleavened bread, right? Jesus took that bread that night, and he gave it to him, and he said, this is my body, right? This sinless, perfect, unblemished body of mine, I'm giving it for you. How? Well, it took a sinless, perfect, unblemished lamb sacrifice, the giving of a life. He gave his body to take the wrath of God in our place. So as we take it, what do we got to do? We got to remember. Do this in remembrance of me, he said. So as you take the bread, do it remembering what was required for you to be saved. What you deserved, the sinless one took. And he went like a sheep led to the slaughter, a lamb led to the slaughter, mouth shut. This is our Savior. Let us remember him and what he did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, indeed, as we take the bread this morning, let us do it in remembrance of you, remembering what it points to. There's nothing magical in this little piece of bread, nothing at all. But it's a symbol that points us to you, and in you is everything. It's our perfect sacrifice. Lord, let us remember not only that you gave your body to die, you gave your life, but you endured the wrath in our place. The blame, as we sang in the gospel song, we're to bear the blame. And you did it perfectly. Lord, as we take it, let us do it, remembering that, Lord, you did this for me. If I'm in you, you did this for me. May you be praised. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Jesus also that night picked up the cup, sharing that Passover meal. Again, why were they sharing the Passover? Remember what the Lord had done in his salvation. And Jesus is saying, it's me. It's all about me. And how was this cup about him? He said, well, this is my blood. And I pray you all know by now, as we preach it enough, it takes only the blood, the sinless blood of the perfect sacrifice to wash away our sins. So Jesus saying, I'm giving my blood for you because this is the only thing that's going to take your sins away. This is the only thing that's going to make you right so you can be with me forever. This is the only way that's going to allow you to have me, is that I shed my blood. So as we take the cup, let's remember Jesus. And then it was him giving his life, giving his blood, every bit of it, so that we might have eternal life and that we might have him. Let's do this in remembrance of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think of the blood and the blood of the Lamb, Lord, my mind goes to what it must have been like that night in Egypt when death came swift and severely. What a night of terror that must have been. But your people were spared because they put this blood on their doorposts. God, how much more severe, how much more terrible must have been that night when Jesus endured the wrath for us. The wrath that's meant for us, but the only way we can be spared is because we have the blood on us. Lord, as we take this cup, let us remember that. It's only by what Jesus did that we can be spared. We have no part in this. You have it all. Lord, let us remember and let us worship as only you are worthy to be worshiped. Pray all this in Jesus' name.